Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Are we losing our free speech rights in the Western world? Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today to discuss this question is my colleague, Eric Johnson. There was an article that was written in the Washington Post by a man named Jonathan Turley. Jonathan Turley is a constitutional law attorney. He's a Shapiro Professor of Public Interest Law at George Washington University. He wrote an article called Shut Up and Play Nice, How the Western World is Limiting Free Speech. Now, before we go into this article, and I think it's very important to look at some of the points that he raises in this, that Mr. Turley is not by any means a conservative. This man is very liberal in his politics. But the reason why I felt it was important to look at what he says is because a lot of what he is pointing to plays a huge role when it comes to Christians and their ability to proclaim the gospel. Now, this is where I might politely disagree with some of my brothers and sisters in Christ when they say, well, we shouldn't be concerned about politics or anything like that. We should only be concerned about preaching the gospel. The problem that I have with that kind of thinking is if we don't keep an eye on where our politics are going in this country, it's going to someday affect our ability to preach the gospel. I mean, I'm willing to have a jail ministry, but if I'm not really supposed to be having one, you know, sometime soon, I want to be able to do what I feel God's called me to do. And so here is some issues that this man raises that I think we need to listen to, because it does pertain to us. It does pertain to us because we see, as a Christian ministry, trying to reach a people who disagree with us, that right there is controversial speech. And it's controversial speech that is really under attack right now. This is what he says in his opening paragraph.
Well, before you do that, Bill, can I just give you a quick quote from Martin Niemöller from when the Nazis
were... Oh, yeah, he was around during the time of Dietrich Bonhoeffer, yeah, and actually spent time in prison.
And the church, the confessing church at that time, just allowed the Nazis to do what they were going to do, and they had that same kind of attitude you were talking about before of just let things happen and don't get involved in politics. And so Hitler put his mark on the churches, and then you mentioned Bonhoeffer, who had the confessing church that went underground. But this is a real quick quote that he gave. First, they came for the communists, and I didn't speak out because I wasn't a communist. Then they came for the socialists, and I didn't speak out because I wasn't a socialist. Then they came for the trade unionists, and I didn't speak out because I wasn't a trade unionist. Then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak for me. And you want a jail ministry? Yeah, you could have one, but is that really the best of what God would intend? And even Paul fought back. He appealed to Caesar, and some would say maybe that was a mistake, but he tried to use good tactics in even in the political realm to be able to do what he wanted to do.
Well, you bring up Niemöller, and of course, that was during the time of Bonhoeffer. I would say that probably the most influential book I have read recently was Eric Metaxas's book, Bonhoeffer. Mm-hmm. I mean, that book was incredible. It's a long read, but boy, Christians, if you want to read something, and what scared me most about reading that book, it looks like history is repeating itself. That's what was frightening. And when Bonhoeffer had his complaints about the German church at that time, I'm going, we're seeing this in the United States. We're seeing this in Western culture.
Yeah, you're right.
And we need to really be aware of what's going on around us. This is why I think it's important to talk about this.
I think you're absolutely right. So let's get into this.
Well, this is how he starts off. He says, free speech is dying in the Western world. While most people still enjoy considerable freedom of expression, this right, once a near absolute, has become less defined and less dependable for those espousing controversial social, political, or religious views. The decline of free speech has come not from any single blow, but rather from thousands of paper cuts of well-intentioned exceptions designed to maintain social harmony. That is telling, because isn't that exactly how a lot of things normally happen? It's
a progression.
It's a slow progression and changing the culture's mindset and going into a different direction. People don't realize that when Hitler took power, he didn't all of a sudden turn it into a police state. It took several years before that eventually happened. Right about 1938, 5 years after he was already in power, he slowly went to that direction. And by then, even though people knew there was a problem, by then it was too late to make the change.
Well, this is the frog in the kettle, you know, Right. The idea that you can put the frog in a kettle.
Does that really happen? I've never experimented like that.
Poor frog. I don't think I would want to see it.
Probably have PETA down your back if
you
did.
But you put him in that water and you turn the heat on, he's not going to jump out. But if it's hot, he's going to jump out. So I think that principle applies here.
This is what Jonathan Turley goes on to say in this article. By the way, this is the Washington Post, and it's called Shut Up and Play Nice, How the Western World is Limiting Free Speech. He says, in the face of the violence that frequently results from anti-religious expression, some world leaders seem to be losing their patience with free speech. After a video called Innocence of Muslims appeared on YouTube and sparked violent protests in several Muslim nations last month, UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon warned that, quote, when some people use this freedom of expression to provoke or humiliate some others' values and beliefs, then this cannot be protected. I read that, and that is chilling, because basically what it's saying is that if somebody doesn't like what you may have said about their faith, then you have no right to express any type of disagreement. I find that very troubling.
Who gets to judge what is offensive and what's not? That's the major question.
Anybody can complain about anything. I mean, look at it in our position. We get emails all the time from Latter-day Saints who accuse us of being hateful or being bigoted or saying things that are untrue. When we challenge them to say, please show us, what have we actually said that comes across hateful? What have we said that comes across bigoted, or what have we said that's inaccurate? The rebuttals rarely come back, unless it's something really silly like, well, everything you say, which obviously tells me I'm not dealing with a rational person, because that's just ridiculous. But they can make that charge, but is it actually true? And if it's not true, should the charge even be considered valid?
Well, we ran into this in September when we were trying to do an outreach in Brigham City, Utah, at a Mormon temple open house. They had produced an ordinance in September 2nd, 2010, that basically said any kind of a protester for an event had to have a permit to be on certain streets. And when they opened the temple up, they said that we were considered protesters because we wanted to hand out literature. And when we finally did end up applying for the permits to be able to do that, we were only allowed on two of the four streets surrounding the temple. And the two public streets where most of the people were, we were not allowed to be. Mm-hmm. When we were talking to the police officers on the very first day about whether or not we would be allowed to do any kind of an outreach, they said that we could not, except maybe go on private property, but we could not be anywhere else in the city. And we said, why? And they said, because this ordinance that we have constitutes protesting as being something that you can't do without a permit. You can't get the permit until Monday or Tuesday when we finally got it. But even then, we would only be allowed on certain streets. That was very disconcerting for us, because here we were trying to practice our First Amendment rights. And so we said, well, what if we didn't even take our newspapers with us? We had no tracks whatsoever. And then we went out to the temple and just tried to talk to people. And the one officer said to me, the sergeant of Brigham City, said, well, that would be okay until somebody complained. And once they complained, then you would be able to be fined up to $750, and if you didn't follow with that, then we could put you in jail for up to 90 days.
Now, I would think most Mormons, listening to the story that you just told, if it was any other religion, they would probably be appalled. But because it's their religion that we are trying to reach, or we are trying to criticize, we are critiquing, all of a sudden Mormon attitudes change radically.
Well, and they said it was for public safety, but the funny thing is we were finally allowed the last 3 days because we pressed this and we took it legal. And when we were out there for the last 3 days, they even acknowledged that we weren't in the way, and there were the biggest crowds the final days. We just stood where near the buses, and we handed them out. We handed out five times as many newspapers as if we had just stood on the corner where nobody was. So we were able to do what we wanted to do, but we didn't cause any problems.
We were just trying to get our message out, trying to talk to people if they wanted to talk to us.
Yeah.
But when you look at some of the news clips, I was watching some of the interviews with some of the Mormon people when they asked them about the presence of the Christians handing out literature out there. I was amazed at how many of them felt that they should not be allowed. They should not be allowed. Whoa. Okay. What if we reversed it, folks, and they made an ordinance against Mormon missionaries going out, coming to my door?
They wouldn't like that.
They've already tested that. And when they tried to do that against Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons going door to door, the Mormon church fought it. Which, if that's the attitude a lot of Mormons want to have when it comes to people, you know, presenting other views or even critical views of Mormonism, then it's hypocritical for your church to say, well, no, you have to defend our right to say what we want, and we can go to your door, and we can give you a presentation that says that all the churches are wrong, your creeds are an abomination, and your professors are corrupt.
But the interesting thing for what we do, I think we are very low-key. We hand out a paper that you can look at. You don't have to take one if you don't want. We did have websites at that outreach because there was no other way to reach people, and all it said was www.gotforgiveness.com, which a copy of our paper, a PDF file, was on that website, and we talked kindly to people. We had great relationships throughout the entire outreach. They may have disagreed with our opinions and our views. That was okay, but we could treat each other like people. Now, once we got out of hand, I understand. And then, you know, now there's going to be problems if we got in the way of people.
But that never happened, folks. It never happened.
But the idea of preventing it from happening in the first place, as an American who believes in the Constitution, and I also believe in the First Amendment, I think that's wrong. Mormons are allowed to come to my door. They're allowed to stand out on the street as well and hand out their information. I think we should, too. So I agree completely with what Turley's going to do here in this article.
And we're going to look at this some more because I think he brings out a lot of excellent points that we as Bible-believing Christians need to seriously consider. And if you're a Mormon listening to this, you need to consider it, too, because I'm going to be quite upfront with you. You guys, sometimes, the Mormon people, are guilty of doing some of these very things, and they need to be careful about that because it will come back to bite them.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Let me ask you this. Have you ever wondered how to answer questions you were asked by your LDS friend? Well, a new resource by Kriegel Publishers and written by MRM's Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson is exactly what you need. Answering Mormons Questions is a 300-page book covering 36 common questions that Mormons often pose. Now you'll have the ability to respond to them with sound biblical reasoning. The book includes a glossary of common LDS terms and has study questions at the end of each chapter. Questions such as, wouldn't you like to have your marriage and family endure for all eternity? And what's wrong with praying about the Book of Mormon are dealt with in a straightforward but loving manner. Available at the Utah Lighthouse Bookstore, 1358 West Temple in Salt Lake City. Or if you prefer, you can order online at mrm.org. That's mrm.org. Answering Mormons Questions. It's a resource every Christian needs.